pastoral assistant here. Anyone ever watched The Office, the assistant, that thing, I think like that. But please open your Bibles with me to Psalm 121. That's where we're going to find our sermon text this morning. And we're going to be reading the entirety of Psalm 21 this morning. So we'll give you guys a second to get there, and then we'll get into that. Right, so this is God's word in Psalm 121, which states, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The word of the Lord, if you would bow your heads in prayer with me. Lord, I just ask that you remind me, that you remind all of us here who are your saints, that you are our keeper, that you are where our help comes from, Lord. Even sustain me as I stand here, Lord. I ask that you give me clarity of mind and clarity of thought, Lord, and I ask that your word go forth in power to comfort your saints. Remind us, Lord, that we are safe because you are our God. Whatever is to come, we are safe because you are our people. You created the heavens and the earth, Lord, yet you care for us, you watch over us, you see us. Create in our hearts this morning praise for who you are, for your care for us, for your providence. Help us to see you clearly. Help us to see Christ this morning. We pray these things in your name, Lord. Amen. All right, so I want to ask, by show of hands, who's ever prayed for travel mercies, if you don't want? I mean, this isn't an embarrassing thing, so yeah, all right, I figured, right? Most of us have. If you don't know what I'm talking about when I say travel mercies, you know, you're going on a trip, you get in the car, Lord, keep me safe, you know, travel mercies, all that stuff, or maybe it's friends or family, you're praying for them as they go on their journey, that the Lord keep them safe, right? So I want us to think about, why do we do that? Like, why do we pray for travel mercies? Why do we ask for the Lord's protection, for his safe keeping as we take a trip, a long ride, a flight, whatever it may be? Well, we do that because we know there are many unknowns that could happen. There are many variables that are completely outside of our control as we get in the car or board a plane. Really, any trip we go on, any journey we take, there are things that can, and sometimes even do, go wrong. Like, we know we need the Lord's protection to keep us safe on a journey. We need his help. And it's the same with life in general. Like, as we go through the journey of life, we honestly have no idea what's to come. There's so much danger that could befall us at any given moment. And as we continue to trudge through life with all of its challenges, all the hills and valleys that we've already came through and that we will continue to go through, we might find ourselves thinking, like, how can I go on? I need help. And I don't know about you, like, maybe it's just me. Sometimes, literally, it's a Tuesday morning and nothing's going wrong in my life, and I think, man, I don't even know how I'm going to get through today. Lord, I need help. I need you. So what I want us to see today in our text is where we find help on our journey as God's people. I want us to see three truths about God's help for his people, his covenant people. And when I say his covenant people, I mean us, the church. I want us to see that our help, it comes from the Creator, and his help, which comes in the form of his keeping, it is constant and it is complete. And in seeing that, I hope that we leave here today with courage to keep trudging, to keep going forward, and a renewed trust in the Lord's care for us as his people. And honestly, what I want us to know is we are safe. I was talking to someone before that. We are safe. Whatever is to come, We are safe because of who our God is and his care for us. And so I just want to set the context here a little bit. So our psalm today, it's a psalm of ascents. So the psalms of ascents, they would have likely been sung by Israelites as they made the pilgrimage to Jerusalem three times a year for the various feasts, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. They would have had a long journey ahead of them. It would have been through challenging terrain. And Jerusalem, it was literally up in the hills or the mountains. So when people took this journey, they were literally going up to Jerusalem. So as people traveled through what is really the Middle East, like the scorching heat, it would not have been an easy journey. And the Psalms of Ascents, they would have been on the lips of faithful Israelites as they made their journey up to Jerusalem. So as we're reading and as we're thinking through this psalm, think of faithful Israelites traveling to the temple in Jerusalem with this psalm on their lips, singing it as they made their journey. And I think it helps put this psalm in particular in context, but I think also gives us a helpful analogy for our lives as Christians. I mean, we're all, if we're in Christ, if we're Christ followers, we're on a pilgrimage. We're going up to the heavenly Jerusalem. That is our final destination, and for anyone who's lived any amount of time, we know it's not an easy journey. So again, let's look more at this psalm, and hopefully we can find encouragement in these three truths that we will see about God's help for his covenant people. Three truths about God's help for us. Three truths about God's help for the church, for his people. So look with me at verse 1. The psalmist opens this psalm, and he states, "I lift up my eyes to the hills." The writer, again, he's setting out for a journey, and we don't know the exact context of this specific writer. We have the text to draw from that. But like I said, people would have sung this on the way to Jerusalem. But the psalmist here, the writer, he's setting out on a journey, and he looks at what's to come. And as he does this, he sees the hills, and he asks himself, where does my help come from? He could have been going to or from Jerusalem, and there would have been various mountains in his view. The journey ahead of him was long, again, with many potential dangers ahead. And some question, like when the psalmist here says, I lift my eyes to the hills, like what he was thinking, there's various explanations. Some are like, hey, he's looking at Jerusalem in confidence that that's the Lord's place, the Lord is with him. Other individuals, which I kind of lean this way, think he looks to the hills. He sees the journey ahead of him. He sees the dangers that those hills contain, the dangers that are ahead of him on the journey, the path that he must travel, and he thinks of all these things, and he thinks of his need for help, his own inadequacy for the journey, and he ponders to himself, where will I get my help from for this journey? And again, like whether we're going on a journey or not, I think we can all relate to that, this feeling of we look ahead and we wonder what's to come. Like maybe you're presently preparing for a new journey, like a new season of life is ahead of you. There's a change coming. There's a new journey ahead, and it presents uncertainty. Or maybe you're already in a new season, and it's really difficult. And as I've already mentioned, as Christians, we're all on a journey. We are all truly on a pilgrimage anyways, so we're traveling through this life, again, with an eternal destination ahead. And I think, again, as we're on this journey, we can all relate to thinking, man, how am I going to get through this? From where does our help come from? Like, where does my help come from? Because there is danger ahead. And whether we realize it or not, the truth of the matter is, we all need help. Like, not one single one of us sitting in this room is not in need of help. So where will we look? Like, where do we look for our help? And I mean, honestly, where should we look? Well, let's look at verse 2 and see where the psalmist ultimately looks for his help. Look at it with me. My help, it comes from the Lord. So here the psalmist, he remembers and affirms where his help will come from for the journey ahead of him. He knows he will need it. He knows he can't make it safe on this pilgrimage alone. There's a humility here to the psalmist. Like, he knows he is not sufficient. Like, he must not look to himself for the strength to endure this journey. So then he answers himself. He reminds himself, like, where does my help come from? My help comes from Jehovah. My help comes from the covenant God. My help comes from the God who is, the great I am. And when he realizes his need for strength, he looks to the one who has all strength, the one who has all power, the one who is sufficient to be his help. But the psalmist doesn't stop there. The one who was in the beginning of verse 1 there, looking at the hills, not only remembers that the Lord is his help, but that his help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Like, his help comes from the Creator God, the one who made the hills that he looked at in verse 1. The one who spoke those hills and all the mountains that he will traverse into existence. Like, the one who made the heavens, the earth, and everything in it. That is where his help came from. The one who created the sun and the moon that will beat down on him as he takes this journey. The one who sovereignly controls all that he created. Like, this is where this traveler's help came from. So our psalmist, he remembers God and he takes his eyes off of the hills, off of himself, off of creation, and fixes his eyes on the Creator who will be his help. This, I'm sure, would have caused him to be strong and courageous, to not be frightened, to not be dismayed. And why is that? Because God was his help. So enough about the psalmist for now. Let's come back to us. I want you to stop and ask yourself, as you continue to go forward, like you individually, me too, with all the unavoidable dangers ahead of us, with all the difficulties we might have to endure on our journey, the mountains that we will have to traverse, the difficult paths that we might have to walk, like where do we look for help? And I think, honestly, we need to think about, do we even acknowledge our need for help? There's so many times I've thought to myself and even talked with my wife and, you know, we're talking, something's going on in life, and we say, I've talked with a lot of people about this recently, like, I don't know how people get through life without God. Like, all the difficulties, all the uncertainty, all the unknown, like, our insufficiency for all that. I mean, seriously, if we're just honest, it is too much for us in and of ourselves. I mean, life, it literally just comes at you point blank range, and it comes fast. So where do we look? Where do we look for help? And if I'm honest, like, I'll confess right up here, I'm not always looking to the Lord for my help. It's not always my first thought when I need help is who my God is. I wish it was, but it's not. Sometimes I look to myself, you know, pull myself up by the bootstraps. Just got to get through this. I got this. There's this pride in our hearts as humans, or I might look to things of this world, look to all these different things other than God for help. And I want to just stop for a second and address, like, if you're sitting in this room right now and you are not a Christian, like, you are not part of God's covenant family, his covenant people, you have not repented and believed the gospel and trusted in Christ and Christ alone for salvation, like, I'm sorry, but that would mean, like, you do not know this God who the psalmist affirms is his help. And he is the only God. There is only one God. So if that's you in this room, I really want you to think. I want all of us to think, but really want you to think. Where will you get your help from? Because you're going to need it. I'm sorry, you are not enough. I promise. And you don't need to worry about that, because I'm not, you know, putting you on blast, because none of us are enough. Neither am I, neither is anyone in this room. And maybe the journey, it hasn't gotten rough yet, but it will. So, like, if you don't know who this God is, where are you going to look for your help on the journey? And again, we all need to think about that, whether we're Christians or not. Where will we look to for help as we go forward on this journey? Again, will we look to the creation for help, to something of this world? Will we look internally to ourselves, hoping to find some like untapped inner resource that's inside me that quite frankly doesn't exist unless I'm talking about God's Spirit and God's power? Will I look inward to get help? If I'm doing those things, it is quite literally like bringing a knife to a gunfight. Or I was thinking about Joe and Nerf Night recently. It's like literally stepping onto the battlefield and like you come out, Lonnie goes onto the battlefield with like Jack's Nerf gun. Like stepping into war with that. It's silly. It doesn't make sense. It's not sufficient. It won't work. And honestly, it's foolish when we can look to the Creator God who made and governs all things for our help. So I encourage us all this morning, whether it's for the first time and you've never done this before, or whether it's for the 100th or 1,000th or 1,000,000th time, look to the Lord who made the heavens and the earth, the one who then sent his son to die for sinners so that they truly could echo the words of this psalmist here, like my help, mine, it comes from the Lord. And as Christ followers, we need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded of it constantly. To be reminded that we need not look elsewhere for help. And honestly, I was encouraged by men's breakfast the other day. I'm talking about like why we need to know the Bible so well, why we need to be people of the book, right? Because as we read the word, it's going to constantly reorient us, talking about types of psalms and things like that. This could also be classified as a psalm of orientation. We get disoriented in life. We forget, where does my help come from? I'm overwhelmed. I'm scared. I'm anxious. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I open the word, and it orients me. It exposes our need for help. But it doesn't just leave us there. It then comforts us with God's sweet, sweet, sweet promises of where our help comes from. Like, think of this. You wake up one morning, you're really overwhelmed. Something's going on. You're stressed, work, whatever the case may be. I don't know what it is. So just think of a situation in your life where you're really overwhelmed with something. And then you wake up to do your quiet time, to read your word. You open your Bible. You're just going through the Psalms. Today when you open it, it happens to be Psalm 23 is what you're reading today. And all of a sudden, you're reminded that you have a good shepherd who cares for you. And like, you are part of his flock. Then all of a sudden, you find yourself with courage to face the day because of who your God is and because of his care for you. And honestly, we need to remind our brothers and sisters of this, like remind our brothers and sisters in Christ of where their help comes from. Honestly, that's why I'm preaching this. Like I'm in the hospital with my wife. Everything's gone crazy as we're going to have a kid. Like we show back up. They're like, man, your blood pressure is so high. Like you're very well may have a seizure or a stroke. We need to do something immediately. I'm texting with Lonnie. Lonnie goes, you guys need to remember Psalm 121. Take a look at it. Read it with your wife. Think about these things. Meditate on it. And that was such a blessing to us. Why? Because we needed to be reminded of where our help came from. It came from the Lord. And as members of his body, we need to hear God constantly reminding us that he is our help. He is our God. So remind your brothers and sisters of that. Like even here on Sunday, like there's all kinds of needs going on and crazy things that can be going on in people's lives. Like first and foremost, as a church member, like part of your duty is to know those things. Like it is not just Lonnie's job to know what people are struggling with. It is not just the job of the elders. Even more so as members of like a Baptist congregational church. Like the work of the ministry, it is not for our leaders. I mean, it is, but it's also for you guys. Like, they equip you to do the work of ministry. So it's all of our responsibility to know the needs of members in the congregation, to know who I might need to encourage when this service ends and remind them where their help comes from. Please do not let your brothers and sisters forget about where their help comes from. Like, let's take seriously our responsibility as church members. It's a privilege and a blessing and an honor, but with it comes responsibility. So let's not let our brothers and sisters here forget of where their help comes from. And then honestly, pray these truths into your hearts, like all of us. Let's pray these truths into our hearts, because when we pray, what are we doing? We are acknowledging our need for help. And one of the most frequently prayed prayers of a Christian should simply be, Lord, help me. Like, I'm in a good spot if I'm going through my day, I'm constantly thinking of how I need the Lord's help and saying, Lord, help me. Be my help. And help me remember the fact that you are my help, that your word says you are my help. You are my keeper. Help me to remember these things. Because we aren't designed to live the Christian life in our own strength. We are designed, honestly, to live completely dependent upon something and someone other than ourselves, and that is the Creator God, who is our help. He is our help. So as we go forward on this pilgrimage, let's not take a step independently. Because if we're doing, we will stumble, we will fall. We are weak. But instead, let's humbly rely upon our Lord, who is our help, and who is strong, and who is our God. And as we continue to see in our text today, the help that comes from him, this help that comes from God for us, his people, it is constant. Look with me at verses 3 and 4, where we're going to see this, that God's help, it is constant. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. It seems here as if there's someone responding, like another voice kind of comes in the psalm. The first two stanzas, this guy's looking at the hills and thinking about where my help comes from. And then the rest of the stanzas seem to be someone else speaking to him, like maybe it's a priest or a more mature saint. The remainder of the verses, you can see that it switches from first person to second and third person. It goes from my help to he will not let your foot be moved. I mean, this priest was an excellent church member, reminding a weaker saint of his need for God's help and who his God was, just as a side note there. But it's as if he's saying, like, don't worry. The Lord who is your help on your journey, little one, saint, he sustains you. He upholds you. He protects you. He keeps you from falling. Again, you are safe. You are safe. Think of the picture painted here in this psalm. As this traveler, he's journeying, and he's going to have to travel narrow paths on his journey. Like, see, Jay's mountain climbed and things like that, taken hikes before. It's as if he's going to have to travel tight little paths, potentially on the sides of mountaintops, where, like, one slip, like if you lost your footing even once, if you slipped and fell, it meant disaster. It could literally even mean death. It's like, no, 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 no. Don't you worry. Don't worry. The Lord, he will not let your foot be moved. Don't worry about a thing. You will not fall. Because why? Because he will not allow it. His hand, it is steady on you, holding you, sustaining you. And kind of want to step back a little bit, though. And I want us to think, like right now, and as we continue to read, don't forget we're reading a psalm, right? This is poetry, and this is a metaphor. So I want you to have that picture in mind as we go forward, that we must not press this too far. Like, a picture is being painted here to convey a truth. So this is how all kinds of false teachers and doctrines, there's one brother in here, I'm thinking I better get an amen from on this, but who will take things like this and twist it and contort it and say, well, like, well, if you fell, you just must have not had enough faith. That is not true. That is, got it. That is incorrect. Like, would this traveler literally never slip? Like, did no Israelite ever traveling to Jerusalem ever stub their toe? It's not saying that. That is not what this is saying. But it is telling us that the Lord would sustain the traveler. And quite frankly, like, he will sustain us. He would not allow the traveler to fall ultimately where this traveler would not make it to his final destination. So then the psalmist goes on in the second part of verse 3. He states, he who keeps you will never slumber. So this is the first of, I think, six times in the psalm we are going to see a variation of the word keep. So I want to quickly define it for a second here. I was like, do we talk about in our kind of propositions up there and our points, like God's help, God's keeping is constant. It's one and the same. God's help, it comes in the form of keeping. That is what our help is. So whenever you see the word keep, I want you to think of the Lord protecting, the Lord guarding, the Lord preserving, the Lord watching over intently. Like, this is his keeping. He is like the father constantly watching over his children, ensuring their safety. He is like the shepherd watching, guiding, leading, protecting his flock. The psalmist is reminded that he himself is like a child on his journey, and his father is constantly holding his hand, ensuring that he's okay, that he's not going to lose his footing. Boop, the kid goes to slip. Well, the father's got his hand. The father will steady him. So the Lord, the one who keeps the traveler, and the one who keeps us, the psalmist goes on to tell us he will never slumber. The Lord's keeping of the traveler, it was constant. The whole journey, the Lord would be helping him and protecting him and keeping him from falling. This traveler, his God, it was not like the other false gods, little g gods of the day. He was not like Baal, who would fall asleep and only sometimes wake up. No, the God who was keeping the traveler, he was ever watchful, omnipresent, always watching, always present, always there. There was not a second that his God, his keeper, was not watching over him on his journey. It's as if God is constantly standing guard in the watchtower of the heavens, 24/7, watching over the traveler, eyes constant. He doesn't even blink. Constantly watching, constantly protecting, constantly guarding. Then this gets even further intensified. Look at verse 4 with me. He says, behold, look, he who keeps Israel, he who keeps God's covenant people, he will never slumber nor sleep. So now the traveler is reminded that the God who keeps him on his journey is the one who keeps and has kept his covenant people. Like, his God, his keeper, was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the one who delivered his people from slavery in Egypt, kept them as they wandered in the desert for 40 years, and then brought them into the promised land, brought his people there. He's true to his promises. He is a covenant-keeping God. And the psalmist says, remember, this is the God who keeps him, and he is committed to keeping his covenant and his covenant people. His help towards them, it is constant. So lest you stop and think, well, I'm not an Israelite. What does this have to do with me? Who are his covenant people today? Who are they? Who are the people of God? We are. We are his church, his people, his bride and our faithful bridegroom. He is keeping us because of his commitment to his promise. This is not like marriage covenants in this fallen world where maybe one day, you know, this guy's going to wake up and go, you know, I'm not committed to her anymore. That is not our God. He is perfect and keeps his commitment. Okay. Weird. Sorry. But anyways, guys, you guys told me the batteries were good. We will make do. All right, hopefully this works. So he's faithful to his covenant and his covenant people. Like that, apologize for that, but that is the God who keeps him, and he is committed to keeping his covenant, and his covenant people, his help towards them. It's constant. We are those people. We are his church. And I want us to just think back. Like, as he was always faithful to Israel and always kept Israel, he will always keep us. He will keep us both corporately, and he will keep us both individually. So I want you to pause and think about it corporately. Like, he has kept his church for the past 2,000 years. Honestly, despite all kinds of crazy attacks on the church and the people of God. And he has and he will continue to build his church, and his word says that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And like we are part of that. We are part of that. He is committed to his people. He is faithful to his people. He will protect and watch over his people. Can we just pause and praise God there? Like he adopted us into that. He grafted us into this. He brought us into his family. And now we can claim the truths of this psalm that we read today as our own. And why is that? Because of who Christ is and what he has done on our behalf. And we are united to him. We are brought in to the covenant people of God. Praise God for that. And again, like think to yourself, like, is that you? Like, if that's not you, if you're like, I don't know. Am I part of the covenant people of God? Do I really know Christ? That's scary, because if you're outside of God's covenant people, if you're outside of the church, if you're not a Christian, that is scary. But what I want you to do is hear the free offer of the gospel. There's no big hurdle you need to jump through to enter God's family. You don't need to clean yourself up and figure out your sin before you can come freely to Christ. Christ died. He died in accordance with the scriptures. He was real. He walked this earth. He was buried and raised on the third day. That's what we're going to celebrate on Easter in a couple weekends here. Like, Christ died so that we no more may die. And so that we can come be part of his family. So, like, if that's not you, if you're not part of that, look to him. Come to him. Trust in him. Repent and believe the free offer of the gospel and be joined to Christ and welcomed into the family of God. And now, church, let's also, as Christians, look to him, because he's not just keeping, like, his people corporately. He's not just keeping the church as a whole, but he's keeping each and every one of you individually. Like, if you're a Christian, God is watching over you. He's constantly protecting you. And I know the temptation when things go wrong, when we start to experience difficulty on the journey, when there's danger ahead, the temptation is to think, God isn't there. Feels like he isn't watching. He doesn't even see me. But we're reminded here that he does. Like, brothers and sisters, he does. He does not slumber. He never sleeps. He never takes his eyes off of you. And he's committed to keeping you safe and protected.
because he's committed to his word. He's committed to his promises. So he will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. He will never not see you. He will never not be watching you. So when unexpected happens and calamity comes on your journey, like, remember that God is keeping you. You are his. Like, praise him for that. Trust him. He is so, so faithful. I just want you to even call in your mind right now the ways that he's been keeping you to this point in your life. Think of his sweet, sweet providence and care of you already. Like, from the first time you realized his love, it was set on you. That you realized he saw you as his child and you saw him as your loving father. Honestly, think of the fact he spared your life up until that point, right? You could have got hit by a car and in a tragic accident and died before you got to have your eyes opened to the message of the gospel and come to know Christ and have eternal life. But you did not. And think of all the ways that he's protected you and cared for you and sustained you since that point. The straight paths that he has kept you on, kept your feet on. God is our keeper. Left to my own devices, I'm going to leave the path. I'm going to stumble, but he's kept us on it. And his help, it gets even better. We're going to see that in the remaining of our verses, that God's help, his keeping of his covenant people, and his keeping of you and me, it is complete. Look with me starting at verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. So the psalmist, he is further reminded of the Lord's keeping on his journey. So here first we have an image of like a soldier, someone who would have had their shield in their left hand that would have left their right side open to attack. So it's as if the psalmist is saying, the Lord, he has your back. He's got your back. He's guarding you. And he is as close to you as the shade on your right hand. Like, boop, shade, Lord, that close to us as his people. And what about the sun? Like, that would have been a real serious danger as people traveled here. It would have literally been like 120 degrees sometimes during the day, and these people, they would have been traveling at times where there was no shade. Like, the danger of heat stroke, it would have been a very real thing. There was not like a Tim Hortons with air conditioning that they could have just stopped on to freshen up on their journey. No drive-thrus to get a fresh, cool drink. Can you, like, think about this? This is the equivalent to walking through the desert. This isn't like taking a trip in your car through the desert with your AC blaring. Lots of water would have been needed. There would have been serious danger for the traveler during the day. And what does it say? What does God's word say? The sun shall not even strike you, nor the moon by night. And as individuals traveled to or from Jerusalem, there would have been serious danger to the night as well. This is why I initially argued when he looks to the hills, I think he sees danger. So there was the thought that the night made people crazy. So that's where we get the words like lunatic, lunacy from, coming from the root word luna. So the moon. I mean, anyone here, I know mom has, like, you know, the crazies, they come out at night, or the full moon. Oh man, there's a full moon. The crazies are out tonight. Like, people would have thought like that. Like, there would have been this idea in their brains that the moon in the night, it made people crazy. But on top of that, as Israelites traveled to and from Jerusalem for these feasts, they did it 3 times every year. So, like, people knew they were coming. I mean, thousands of Israelites every year would take these trips and travel these paths. So robbers, they would hide in the mountains and seek to rob these Israelites on their journey. They knew they were coming. There were tons of them. There was literally danger in the hills, and danger by day and danger by night. So the psalm paints a picture of legitimate dangers that this traveler would have faced. And the Lord, he would be the pilgrim's keeper, both during the day, during the night. And there's a picture here of completeness, everything in between, the day, the night, everything in between those things. His help was complete. And this goes on. The psalm builds on this. It starts to get further intensified and made more clear in the final two verses here. We start to see the idea of the Lord's help, the Lord's keeping, being complete, brought into view even more clearly. Look at verses 7 through 8 with me, if you have your word in front of you. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. And that word life there would have carried a sense of he will keep your soul. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. So what the word says is he will keep the traveler, he will keep both his physical life, and he will keep his soul from some evil. Is that what your word says? That's not what my word says. From all evil. As the traveler sets out on his journey, he will be kept. And as he makes it to his destination, he will be protected. His coming, his going, he's kept safe. The Lord will protect him from all evil on his coming and his going. And not only on his journey here. Like, as the psalmist continues to come and go and travel and leave work and go out and leave and tend the fields, whatever he was doing, and came back, the Lord would keep him safe. As he went on future journeys to Israel, he would be kept safe. And from that moment to eternity forward, to eternity future, this traveler, he would be kept safe, protected, and guarded by the Lord God. In church, we can say the same for us. I mean, this is even brought into view more clearly for us as Christians. Like, as we continue to travel, continue to walk forward on this pilgrimage, whatever we may face, like, whatever is to come, the Lord will keep us, and we'll start to look at, like, how he does that. But again, when we look ahead and see danger in our lives, when if it's a new journey we're going on, or maybe it's just the dangers of the fact we live in a fallen world, like, in all those moments and all those times, we can trust that the Lord is keeping us. He is keeping us in all circumstances and at all times. We are safe. We are safe. But there will be real physical danger ahead. Like, that's just a truth of this fallen world. Like, our bodies will break down. Like, we'll lose loved ones. We're all going to physically die. We may have financial calamity. We have no idea what's to come. We live in a world where you could literally get hit by a car when you leave church. Like, you could be robbed at any minute. And even through those things, we can trust that the Lord is our keeper. He's keeping us physically, but he's also keeping our soul. He keeps us from all evil. And, like, I honestly, just stop and think for a second. There's so many dangers, so many evils to your soul that you are not even aware of. Like, all these evils that can cause us harm. Like, we have an enemy of our soul. He's seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. There are hostile enemy forces. And on top of that, there's just our flesh and the world, all these things waging war against us. Those are constant. But despite these very real dangers to our soul, like, we can still trust the Lord. And even when things don't go as planned, we can still trust the Lord is keeping us from evils that we aren't even aware of. Like, I think of the picture. This is like God is the father, and we are the child who doesn't get his own way at times. Dad, why can't I have candy for dinner every night? Well, it's not good for you. There's evil there, so to speak. Poor health there that the father is aware of that the child is not. Like, we just get upset that things aren't going our way. But in reality, at all times, the Father is keeping us from evils that we aren't even aware of. I think if the Lord pulled back the veil and you just saw everything as it was, I think he doesn't do that because we don't want to see that. I mean, I'd just fall to the ground. Be like, this is terrifying. So much evil. So much out there. But the Lord is keeping us. Think of, again, like, you've got a teenage child who wants to go out at night. Or I was talking to someone recently. You know, they work with kids. And they go, yeah, gosh. You know, talking about this teenage person who just is, like, on the internet, like, talking to some random person, like, asking, like, yeah, bring me booze. Work in a field of sometimes social work, things like that. And so, you know, listening to this experience And the person I was talking to is just like, I said to this kid, this little teenager, like, weren't you worried? Did you ever think, like, hey, random stranger danger? Like, random stranger on the internet? Like, bringing an underage kid alcohol? Maybe not a good idea. And the kid was like, huh. You know, I never thought of that. Didn't even cross my mind. Right? So that's what we are like. The dangers that are out there, we are not even fully aware of. But the Lord is keeping us. The father is not letting the daughter go out at night because it's not safe out there. And he knows that. And he knows what's best. And as children, we kick and scream and want our own way. But in reality, our father is keeping us safe and protected from evil that we can't even see. I want you to think of a couple potential examples there. Think of, like, you applied for this job. You always wanted this job. You worked so hard to get this job. Lord, please, let me have this job for me and my family. You go, you interview, you think, you know, the Lord's on my side. I'm going to get this six-figure job I've always wanted. It's my dream. And you don't get it. You don't get it. You're devastated. You're upset. You're disappointed. But what you didn't know and could have never foreseen was that six-figure income would have spelt the ruin of your soul. You didn't foresee that, but God did. He was keeping you. Or another one, you know. You just swore, he, she, whatever, they were the one. It was God's gift to me, man. And she leaves you. She leaves you. You're heartbroken. You are devastated. God, why? Why did you do that? Why did you take her from me? But in reality, you had no idea the evil that would have came about if you continued on with them. But the Lord did. He kept you. He was keeping you from all evil. But then there's still the question here. Like, how is this true? Think about it. If you're really tracking with me and you're thinking, like, how is this true? How is this complete care and keeping of my life, both physically and spiritually, true? Like, how can God be keeping my life if we're going to face difficulty in life? If there's real danger that seemingly can touch us, like, people can and do die, tragedies can and do happen, if those things are true, if danger and death and calamity are going to be encountered, which if we just look at this world, we know they will be. Those are not good things. Those are seeming evils. So, like, if those things happen, then how is what God's word is saying here true? How is the Lord keeping our life? How is he keeping us from all danger and all evil? Because we are going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We need not fear any evil. Why? Because God is with us, but we're still going to walk through it. So I think Romans 8 really brings clarity to this for us. First and foremost, I mean, just you should memorize the entirety of Romans 8. It's gold. But first and foremost, we're taught there that God works all things for our good and his glory. So that's where we start to see the fact that even when we don't get the job, God's working that for good. Even though we might have wanted things to play out differently, he was working that for good. He was keeping us from all evil. So again, we can learn from that when things don't go our way or seemingly bad things are happening. We have a God who's really taking evil, and he's working it for good. Praise God for that. But later on, Romans 8, it brings further clarity to how the Lord keeps us. How he keeps us even though we face real danger, even death. So God's word in Romans 8, 35 through 39, if you want to open up, read it with me. If not, that's cool too. What does it say? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. What about then? How's the Lord keeping me then? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Like, praise God for this truth. But what that shows us is we might go through real danger, guys, real difficulty, even death. Yet the Lord, he still ultimately keeps us. Meaning no true, no real, no everlasting evil can ever, ever, ever touch us as Christ's people. Because nothing can and nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ. Like, we have eternal life in us. It does not die. It lives on forever. That is what's in us. And nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. So this is how this psalm is true for the missionary, who the world looks at as a fool because he went to proclaim the gospel message that Lonnie was talking about as he read Corinthians there that sounds foolish to the world. He goes to this unreached people groups to carry this gospel message, and all of a sudden he does that and they kill him. They kill him. How'd the Lord keep him? How was he kept? Didn't look like the Lord protected his life, kept his life there. This is how. He was not separated from the love of Christ. He will spend eternity with his Father. No true, everlasting, eternal evil ever touched his soul because his life will be with Christ for the rest of eternity. This is how this is true of Jim Elliot, who literally died doing just what I was talking about. And this is how this psalm is true of me, how this psalm is true of you, how this psalm is true of everyone in this room who's in Christ Jesus. No everlasting, eternal danger will ever befall you from this time forth, as you're sitting in this room this very second, from this time forth, forevermore. Forevermore meaning eternity. No danger. You will reach the celestial city. You will reach the heavenly Jerusalem, and as you go forward on your pilgrimage, you will be ultimately kept. Whatever may come, whatever seeming evil may befall you, the Lord will use it for your good and keep you, and you will make it to the final destination. Church, we will be safely brought into the promised land. We will make it to the final destination, and then we will be kept in the love of God in Christ for all eternity. I can't help but think, as I was thinking through this, preparing this, Amazing Grace, the lines, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Think of your life. Look at the dangers, the toils, and the snares that you have already been brought through. Like, grace has kept you through that. Grace is presently keeping you. God saved you by his grace. He will keep you from any ultimate danger by his grace. And grace will truly bring you home. And when you get there, you're going to look back. You're going to look back on it all. And finally, it's going to be clear. All the way the Lord, he truly was your keeper. All the ways he kept you, all the dangers and evils he kept you from that you weren't even aware of. You might not see it now, but you will see it then. It'll finally make sense. And I promise you, you will praise him for eternity as a result of it. I long for that day. Long for that day. So, church, in closing, like as we go forward, just know we can trust him. He's keeping us safe. No matter what calamities to come, I don't care what's coming up. I don't care that the presidential election's coming up. I don't know what's going to happen. It was crazy last time. It doesn't matter because the Lord is keeping his church and keeping his people. Should you vote? Absolutely. But know you're safe, right? Like, literally, World War III could break out right now, and we are kept safe. God will sustain us and protect and keep his people, his church. We truly have nothing to worry about. So as we go forward, whatever craziness might come, let's remember that our help, it comes from the Lord. It comes from our Creator. It's constant. It is complete. He will truly keep our going out and our coming in from this time forth and forevermore, so we can go out confidently on our journey and praise the Lord who is our keeper, because we have this promise to arrive safely at home. If you would, church, we're going to pray, and then I think they're going to set a 2-minute clock up there after that. Pray these truths into your heart. Thank God for all the ways that he's kept you and protected you and sustained you already. Ask him to help you trust that he will continue to do so. Pray this care over other people. There's people in your life that don't have these promises that ring true for them. Pray that the Lord make it real for them, that they come to know him. Pray with others, pray with yourself. But let's bow our heads in prayer, and then we'll put the clock up there. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you for who you are, that we needn't ever be worried or afraid, because you truly are our keeper. Help us to remember that, to trust you, to praise you for that. We just thank you even that you have brought us into this, that this has been made true of us because of Christ. Help us to see that and trust that and know you and see your care and love you and praise you for it. Lord, we pray that if there's anyone in this room who this isn't true of, they are not in Christ, you are not their keeper, we pray that you open their eyes right now in this very moment by your Spirit. Give them eyes to see the truth of the gospel and be able to claim these promises for themselves too, Lord. So again, we just ask that you continue to keep us as your people. And we trust that you will, Lord, because you are faithful and your word is true. You are committed to keeping your promises. Never let us forget it, Lord. You are our covenant God, and we love you, we thank you, we praise you. We pray all these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.